to me carefully. I'm going to attempt to explain, and I say attempt because the time here is not enough to do it justice. But I'm going to attempt to explain how God grows a man. Praise the living God. How God grows a person, gets them from point A up to a point, like we said the last time we met, that Enoch walked with God and was no more. Praise the living God. And because we are all at different stages of spiritual growth, it is important that as I am as simple as I can be. Praise the living God. All the deep guys say amen. Amen. You're all deep. Praise the living God. I'm going to attempt to show you how God grows a man. Praise the living God. You know, there are two things that God will take a man through until he gets them to the point that he wants them to be at. Everyone, before they become a Christian, is in a very interesting state. Because you see, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 8, take me there so that they can see it as I say it. You are sometimes darkness. Notice it doesn't say you are sometimes in darkness. Are we seeing the same thing? Give me a new KJV. I like it. It takes away the word sometimes. You were once not in it. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Praise the living God. It says you were once darkness, but now you are light. It says walk therefore as children of light. Ephesians 2 verse 12, I think will make it clearer for me. Before you are a Christian, you are darkness. There are people now in the spirit realm, when they are looked at, they are not just in darkness, they are darkness. And scripture says in Ephesians 2:12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Israel here can refer to both the physical Israel and the spiritual one. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now please understand that there are people currently in this state, people who are currently darkness. Some of them, most of them have no clue. So they have no clue that they are strangers to a covenant of promise. No clue that they actually have no hope. And without God in the world. No clue, there are people out there. Praise the living God. Give me the message version. Message version of that scripture. You had no idea of any of this. You didn't know the first thing about the way God works. Hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of that rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel. You hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. Totally clueless. And most of us, and I'm going to presume all of us are born again here, but if you're not, today is your day. But before you encountered God, scripture says in Colossians that you were conveyed from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. That means powers of darkness actually had power over you. Amen. So that's the state before you got born again. A number of things happened until somehow you encountered Christ. Now let me say something. The day you give your life to Christ, anyone, whether you know it or not, you actually see him. Because in you, and I'm not talking about some spiritual Christ, I'm actually talking about your eyes are opened within. If you're genuinely born again, you almost see that experience of him on the cross. It's the initial encounter that you have with Christ, initial genuine encounter in which you are actually involved in the process. Praise the Lord. And so, the day that you give your life to Christ, the first thing of the two things that I've mentioned takes place. Because I said there are two things that take place for God to get a man from point A to a point where you can say you walked with God and you're no more.
Amen.
So when you give your life to Christ, you encounter the first step, which is substitution. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There was a substitution. Okay? So Christ took your place. A few years back, I was looking through YouTube and I came across a conversation between Oprah and a Christian lady in one of her shows. And the debate was, is Jesus truly the only way? And you know, I would like to meet that woman who stood up for Christ.
Eh?
I'd like to meet her someday. Because it takes a lot when cameras are looking at you to say, listen, Oprah, Jesus is the only way. Yeah, you go and look for it. Eh? Some of you, I'm sure, have seen it. And so there was that constant debate. And Oprah's point of view was this. Surely there are people out there who have never accepted Jesus or know nothing about him. Huh? Surely not all these people are going to hell. Alright? Now, someone brought that to me recently. Brought me the YouTube video. And started the conversation except with me. And said, surely, not everyone who hasn't accepted Christ. It's just, what, there are good people out there. And I was telling this person that you need to realize that the cross is not about who's going to hell and who's going to heaven, not directly. That what Jesus did when he died on the cross is that he gave us choice. Please understand, before death of Christ, man was condemned. When Christ died, you can now choose. That's why scripture says, listen, I place before you a choice between life and death. And I call upon heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Then he says, choose life.
Amen.
The fact that you can choose was given to you. Huh? Now, every man in the wisdom of God has an encounter with God, one way or another, along their path of life. It's just that he might not appear. You'll be shocked. God doesn't appear and quote scriptures. That's why I am certain that, like I explained last time, many of our ancestors here in Africa had encounters with the Christ in the spirit. Not all of them. You always think that they're demons and witchcraft. No. That people had an encounter. Now, listen to me carefully. The day you gave your life to Christ, substitution took place. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, it happened in two areas. First, it happened on the cross that day when Jesus died. Second, it happens almost again. You're taken back, and it happens that moment when you say, I receive you in my heart. It happens. Substitution. From that point onwards, when God looks at you, he sees the Christ. You with me? I got born again. I grew up abroad. So when the family came back to Uganda, you know when you know there's God, but he's up there somewhere with a beard, and some of you still have that mindset. Eh? And so I was naive about what actually Jesus came to do. And so in my S1, my senior one, I was playing in class and two guys took me aside and asked me, do you want to give your life to Christ? Actually, they used the word, do you want to be saved? And I remember asking, what? What? Saved from what? In the classroom. And at that point, because I was a shy guy. I didn't want to disappoint them. I said, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Anyway, so they led me to Christ. A prayer of confession and so on. And by the way, like I've told you before, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, when you're giving your life to Christ, you don't necessarily confess sin. Because it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, not sin. Because anyway, you can confess sin if you want to. But God, in bringing you into his kingdom, is not making you sin conscious. He's making you Christ conscious. Are you with me? Now, so they led me into that prayer of confession. I said it, and I believe to this very day, a seed was planted. They came for me the next week to go for fellowship. We had scripture union in school. And so for the first time, I stood up, and I gave a motivational speech using the Bible. My first ever sermon in front of a congregation. I did not know what exactly was happening inside. A seed was sown. So from then on, you know how school is. Once in a while, you'll attend fellowship. Then go and do your other stuff, play football, do what? Attend fellowship. But I wasn't truly into it. So the whole senior one was coming to an end. Now the holidays of December, around Christmas, because my parents are Anglican, I was taken to All Saints for confirmation classes. Now some people who don't know these things are like, I take confirming what? I was taken to All Saints Cathedral for a confirmation class. Long story short, they took about 4 or 5 weeks. But I remember there was a particular day, a guy came and preached a sermon. I don't remember what it was. And he said, if you would like to give your life to Jesus, stand up. And I was sitting in the congregation, sitting next to my cousin, who till this very day is an unbeliever. And a fire was burning. And you know, I kept looking at him. And you know, people stood up. And the gentleman refused to move on. How many of you know that things don't just happen by chance? And he stood there and said, if you want to give your life to Christ, stand up. I said, but technically, I already did. Praise the Lord. So, he said, if you would like to rededicate your life, stand up. And I stood up. My cousin was next to me, just shook his head. So, for the second time, I received Christ as Lord and Savior. And that was the last time I would ever do it again, you know, because I was serious about it. I remember walking out of that confirmation class and my cousin saying, man, I give you like 2 weeks. You're going to go back to our usual job. Year after year after year passed till this very day. Now, substitution took place. Praise the Lord. All of us have our stories when we encountered. Some people were in the bathroom all alone and something hits them. Someone else saw a miracle and they said, you know what? Some people saw a man prophesying. They said, these things are possible. Let me give my life to Christ. So everyone has that encounter. So there was a substitution. Now, I told you I'm going to be simple. Because there comes a time, listen to me carefully, when you have walked with God, where the ministration of your life is linked to your story. In other words, the things that you've gone through define your ministry. And I'm not just talking about a man of God, because all of us are ministers in some kind. So this is why this is important. You need to hear. So I get born again. This time, serious. Serious core. But I was totally clueless of how this born again thing goes on. Because where I was before, you go to an Anglican church, you just open a book, you read out, you say Apostles' Creed. You know? That's what I was used to. So, we went to school. And I was determined to grow. But I was clueless. Now, that was 1999. Huh? 1999. 3 years passed of trying to find out what's going on. How does this Jesus thing flow? So you just attend fellowship like many of you do. Huh? Just attend because it's expected of you. Then there's some who actually have a revelation. Huh? So you just attend. Imagine it's almost two years. So in 2000 actually, whenever we'd have holidays, church for me would stop. Huh? Church would begin when we have SU at school. Then when we're home, I put aside church and let's go and have some fun. So one day I was invited to a church, an Anglican church here, by a friend to go to the youth fellowship. And I went to the youth fellowship not sure of, I wasn't convinced. I felt there were more important things to do that day. But I went anyway. The year 2000, I walked into the youth fellowship, saw a number of young kids, S1, S2, S3, my age, seated there, listening to an age mate. Huh? And he sat there, okay, he stood up, and man, the guy was preaching word. And I was so captivated. So I sat and listened to him. And I remember the entire time he was ministering, I kept saying, Lord, I want that. Huh? I want to know you like this guy does. I remember he led us through prayer, and man, you could see someone who's been at this for a while. Huh? And so he led us through prayer, and I said, Lord, I want that. Now, at the end of the fellowship, they said, anyone new here? So I put up my hand. Everyone stood up. We held our hands. Then the guy who was preaching said, you said your name is Daniel? Why don't you pray for us? The panic. Huh? So, as we held hands and everyone has closed their ears, you could hear a pin drop. That's the day I realized I didn't know how to pray. All people were hearing was, and Lord, Lord, and just as you are giggling, around the room, people were giggling. And I felt shame. The shame was followed by a quick, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now please, I want you to understand that every man who is born on earth does not come empty in their spirit. They come as carriers of something. He has various things you might have, you will have when you come on this earth. When someone comes on this earth, they have various things deposited in their spirit. Many of them locked up. What God does is that he plants milestones along your path in life. Each milestone, an unlocking of what is inside. So that was my first encounter. You know, you can think, oh, I'm a good Christian. That's the day for me. I realized I actually don't know how to pray. All right? And so I went home that day, first of all, ashamed, angry that people were laughing at me. And I was determined to go back to that fellowship, but I promised myself that I would go late so that I wouldn't be asked to pray, and leave early so that I wouldn't be asked. Now, I want to show you how God sets up men. Because that guy who I looked at that day, I thought to myself, this guy knows the word. This guy knows how to pray. December 2020, he's abroad. He sent me a message. You know, I was shocked to get a message for him. He said, I've been listening to your messages. I honor you, man of God. Now listen, he said, here's my seed for the year. The moment he did that, I was taken back to that day, 20 years earlier, when I said, Lord, I want what that guy has. Now, you see, you never know where, you know, sometimes I imagine God right next to me thinking, if only you knew. Only you knew. And so, please understand, substitution took place for me. And God began to take me along a path, a journey, with milestones and puts, remember the things he puts in us are called burdens. All those burdens are sealed. Sometimes the milestone you encounter is a person. And the person unlocks it. Then you realize, I can actually do this. The second thing that God does is identification. The first one is what? Substitution. The second is identification. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. So you're no longer just looking at it as a substitution. You are on the cross with him. Are you with me? And so it says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, the stage of identification, unlike the stage of substitution, doesn't occur at once. It's an entire process of your life. Huh? God deals with you, and it has categories. Please hear me. The first category is the category of identity. Identity. The second is the category of sacrifice. And I call them categories and not levels because sometimes they happen at once. They don't happen one after another. So the first is the category of identity. The second one is the category of sacrifice. And the third is the category of mastery. With me? Now, let's start with identity. Every man who encounters Christ, when you get born again, it is the desire of God to take you through a process of making you realize who you are in Christ, as well as making you aware of your call. The two are linked but are not the same thing. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, God appears to him and says, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. Then he says, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. The ordination is the call, but knowing is a different category. Are you with me? So there's something God knew about Jeremiah that is separate from what he has called him to do. Praise the living God. And so your entire walk with God, he gets you to understand first and foremost who you are in Christ, as well as revealing to you your call. When I was in secondary school, now I'm born again, dilly-dallying around, spitting fire, learning how to speak in tongues. By the way, the story of how to speak in tongues is just an interesting one. Because I had a couple of friends, and I asked a guy asked me, do you want to learn how to speak in tongues? Come after prep tonight. So we went down to the dining hall, eh? Oh God. And so the guy says, speak. I'm like, he says, whatever comes to your mind, you should have seen. It was just comedy. That's it. Go on. Go on. I'm almost certain the tongues we spoke that day were not real tongues, eh? God, mess it up. Just speak. Anyway. So we learned along the way. So God was trying to get me to a place of my identity. Now, I was in an international school. The school had rich kids. Rich. Presumably, I was also a rich kid. Eh? Huh? But even amongst the rich, there are categories. Eh? Now, I was in an international school, and I used to have a self-esteem issue in three areas. The first self-esteem issue was the issue of finances. My dad, God bless him, was a disciplinarian financially. And so, pocket money was 20K, 30K. And those days, it was quite a hefty sum. It could take you through. And if you're in an international school, the entire time you haven't seen Porsche beans, you'll be fine. You understand? Now, so dad would give 30, 20K. But I was with kids who had 1 million shillings on their accounts. 200,000, 500,000. And you see, the thing is that you'd line up, there was a guy who'd come. So you had to go, tell him your name, he goes to your account and removes, and everyone is looking. And you know, there were jokes, things like, someone just transfer some money to this guy here. Things are tight. Anyway, so because of that, you know how kids can be. It was really a silly thing to feel, but I had low self-esteem financially. All right? I felt, and in schools, categories form. Because we had the who's who of who's who. Huh? The son. And just interesting, it's a spiritual thing. A son, even if he hasn't done what the father has done, takes on the father's glory. He walks around, yeah, that's my dad. It's actually a spiritual principle because all of you do it. Anyway, so I had self-esteem financially. The second low self-esteem I had was, I want you to imagine, these are rich kids. They dress good. Huh? Look good. Huh? The guy has muscles. You see all the girls, oh, Jonah. Huh? Jonah. And I would look at myself and say, it's never going to happen. Man. You know Jalum? You see, guys like Jalum were the ones. At some of us. So, thank God in my school we didn't wear shorts. Because I had low self-esteem about my legs. I can laugh at it now. Now, so I had physical low self-esteem. In fact, I had issues talking to girls. So I had a group of guys who are just like me. We would hang out together. Don't worry, we have each other. You know what I'm saying? So, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about because in school, for you guys were the popular ones. But some of us weren't as popular. And so, I had low self-esteem. Physically, I hung out with the discarded group. Now, the third thing, self-esteem I had, was spiritual. Because when I was in school, I got into contact with this group of boys who were born again in SU around my age. And I began to notice, even back then, that they had access to spiritual anointings, very powerful, supernatural things they could do. I remember there was a guy called Ian, even at that time, who had a profound gift of healing. If you had a boil, if you had an eye problem, headache, instant healing. There was a boy, I remember, who had the capacity to see dreams and visions and accurately predict the future. At that time, we didn't know what to call it. Now I know it's being prophetic. So I found them very... There was another boy in Simbe, and that was his name, had a powerful gift of authority. When he spoke, things would just happen. And imagine, we're just young kids, but would see miracles even at that stage. And the reason why I was feeling a low spiritual self-esteem is because everyone could do something but me. And so even in SU, Banange, first leave school. School, you're already in the lower category. Now even in SU, Ian, I have a headache. You know? There are things that occupy us as students. And so I remember I had a very low self-esteem spiritually in those three categories. Now, so I used to look at these guys. I say, how do you do that? Ian would say, I just walk by faith and I lay hand. You know? And I used to feel irrelevant. I can speak right now. There were 8 boys. Of these 8, I'm the only minister. I want to show you something. I almost feel like every time God was right there, I say, I wish you knew. Because I'm the only minister. Some are still born again. Some fell off. Ian fell off with all that healing. Now, am I ministering to someone? Because I need to show you. Because some of you have gone through this and probably maybe you're having this now. A majority, I feel, is financial self-esteem. But so God got me to a place of building my identity. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? And so I remember one day after realizing that I do not know how to pray, when school resumed, I went and I joined this group of boys who used to pray late night after prep into early morning. And so, man, the other guys could pray. And I remember a guy called Fred. Interestingly, I hadn't talked to him for almost 22 years. 20 years. Called me this afternoon. I said, wow, things are spiritual. Yes, sent me a message on Facebook, says, what's your number? I said, things are spiritual. Anyway, so he used to say, Daniel, let's go into the presence. And I'll tell him, so I would go inside there, and I hated those nights when it would rain, because I love rain. You know, anyway, so I would go in, so we'd go into a classroom and pray overnight. And all I would do, because I don't know how to pray, I didn't know how to pray that time. All I would do is sit on a bench and just say, Lord, here I am, and sleep off. Every single time, Fred would wake me up, Daniel, it's 2 a.m. And you know when they wake you up, you say, Kumbe, you've been sleeping. But the eyes don't lie. So, listen. So, God was building in me a place. And you see, as time went on, I began to realize that the words that I spoke began to increase. That is what you call mastery of presence. And I'm going to explain it if I get there. Now, so here I am. God is building identity in me. If you asked me at that time, what do you want to be after you finish campus? I'll say, you know, I want to work for the UN. I want to be a businessman that owns this and this and this and this. And I'm sure God was just, if only you knew. Praise the Lord. So, within the area of identification, God first deals with your identity in Christ. You must know who you are. It goes on throughout your life. It's at times like that, please understand, that you make mistakes as a child of God, and you learn along the way. And soon you start to learn things like, you begin to realize that everyone is valuable in the eyes of God. Along the way, we began to realize that there are men who have gone before us that we ought to honor because they've gone before us and have walked with God. We learned long ago not to just speak because we made mistakes and things hammered us. Praise the Lord. In identity, God is dealing with you and making you, he begins to reveal your call to you. 2008, imagine, from the time I gave my life to Christ, 1999, to 2008, final year of campus, 2008, all that time, I could preach chord, now gain some confidence, I would pray, let's pray. Father, we thank you. You know, someone else was sitting in the congregation and says, hey man, this guy has done it for a while, eh? But one day, I used to listen to a lot of sermons and preachers. I remember Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Jack Van Impe. There's a guy called Perry Stone, who I loved very much because he has a profound teaching gift on him based on end times. So I used to listen to him a lot. And one day, in 2008, I was alone at home and listening to him. And I told God, I want that. And I kid you not, I felt something unlock. From that day, in my church, the Anglican church, people started to call me Rabbi. 2008. So it's not just this new thing here. 2008. And at first I used to deny it. I said, how you stop calling me those things? That's the day I discovered that I have a call as a teacher. Something happened to me. Whenever I would read a scripture, I couldn't forget it. I was like, where was this when I was in school, man? Because the number of things I failed because I couldn't remember. Anyway, so whatever, even up to now, if I put my eyes on something, I can't forget it. I can't forget it. If I read something, it stays here. May you receive it in Jesus' name. But also, may you have the capacity to forget things you're supposed to forget. Please. Anyway, so I had this profound gifting. All these things began to unlock. I could quote scriptures from anywhere in the Bible. Anywhere in the Bible. I would stand up to preach with confidence. I felt there was something over me. Suddenly, because I've told you the first category is identity. The next one is sacrifice. The next category is sacrifice, where God now teaches you to let certain things go. Sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's places, sometimes, and so he's teaching you, and he's killing things one by one. And the entire time, he's forging your path. And so, I remember, I had to learn to sacrifice time. Huh? I remember I had to sacrifice ego. Huh? You see, I went through a number of things. Because as time went on, I kept on being invited to specific places to minister. It's 2008, 9, 10. By this time, I was building a portfolio of sorts in the spirit, not in the natural. But so, I was going to different places to minister. And I remember one that stands out for me. I was invited once to UCU to go and minister. And I went with a few of my buddies, like, let's go and mess these guys up. And reached there, and there were three people. That's one thing God had to kill in me. Numbers. Amen. I ministered my heart out. I'm just telling you, that's why it has stuck with me. One of those three people shocked me a few weeks back. He came into fellowship here. I was like, oh my God. Three people. Just then, you know, I walked in expecting a crowd. You know when someone's holding for your Bible? It's like, the man of God, who are you? And you walk in and your heart sinks. And I remember the Lord whispered to me after that. He says, you must be at ready at all times, no matter the congregation. That's why I'm telling you, we had to die to numbers. Some people here know. There's an upper room here. There's a time we had fellowship and we could count ourselves on fingers. But the way I'm ministering now has never been different from the way I ministered then. Praise the Lord. Because we had to die to the opinions of men. And each and every one of you, God will take you to that place until you die to the opinions of men. You must learn to hear God's voice for yourself. You must grow. Because listen carefully. Love in the kingdom of God, love in the spirit realm, is not emotional. Love in the spirit realm is based on obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. It's not emotional. Oh, Lord, I love you. I feel the love. It's not emotional. It's based on obedience. And so God will keep on crafting you until you will learn to hear. Because along the way, men will come and everyone will give their opinion on what your path should be. If you're not clear, people will forge you, your path for you. And you ask yourself, how did I get here? You go through 5, 6, 7 years of medicine and a man says you're called to be a prophet. Ah. Do you know how I went? I suffered with Bachelor of Economics. Huh? I had a career tech somewhere inside there. Econometrics. I wasn't good in math. And interestingly, even now I'm not. My wife always laughs at me because when I get confused, numbers, too many numbers come in, and then I'm like, I get lost. So she, thank God, God gave me an accountant of sorts. Anyway, so God will deal with you to make sure that certain things in you begin to die. Die. The realm of sacrifice, the category. And so he began to take me through things. I remember we used to go for evangelism. I had to sacrifice time for family. Because I remember every Christmas, I was somewhere up country. A teacher on what do they call them? Huh? When you go for missions, I've forgotten them. Huh? Mission track. Have you been for mission? Anyway, so I remember even then, that's how I learned to play some keyboard. Eh? Because when we go for mission, the guys who know how to play don't have the time to go all the way to some village. So we'd be there, and besides, we would play our own chords and the villagers would dance. You understand? They don't care what chord you're playing. You just play the music. You just... So someone sing, glory be you. And the villager would just be like this. Chikoneko! So ultimately you learn. Ultimately you learn. And so those are things that the Lord was forging in me. We went for missions. Every Christmas I was out there somewhere. So we didn't just pop up from anywhere. You understand? We have laid hands on people and they've not got well. There's a time I went to, I was like, these guys have set me up. We went to a school of the deaf in Intungamo. And the guy stands in the bus and says, Daniel, you're preaching here. School of the deaf and lame. Now let me ask you, how do you preach a message? Jalum, were you there that day? So I remember I preached. Then I remember there's this guy who was lame. I called him out just to ask him a question, and people thought I wanted to make him walk. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I told you we have been through this. Huh? There are times some guy called me and said, man, we can't walk away from here. The deaf people haven't heard. Daniel, come. So we went one guy. There's a lady. We went, two of us. 15 minutes. Can you hear? Huh? It's at that time, in the realm of sacrifice, please understand, that's when I had to learn that in your walk with God, you don't just do things. Many of us confuse presumption for faith. Though, I encourage you to try out. But, you don't just do things. I began to learn that there are things that God deposits in a man that move him, that drag him towards something. There's someone, I won't look there, but there's someone, we went for a burial, and a person tried to raise a dead person. Eh? And I commended the person, I won't look that side. Person had water, get up. I won't look that side. So me, thinking over and say, maybe I'm not a remnant. Maybe the Lord has spoken. But anyway, so we went through that. Went through trial. And through that, the Lord constantly tries to kill your desire for popularity. Your desire to make a name. You will fail in front of people and learn. Next time, Lord, I'll hear you speak. We went through this, the realm of sacrifice, which finally brings you to the place of mastery, which the Lord will bring you to at a certain place. The most important thing you can master is the mastery of presence. I remember I had such a hunger for the presence of God, such a hunger for God, that I used to sit, there's a year, I don't remember which one, I used to wake up in the morning, just after I'd finished campus, didn't have a job yet, wake up in the morning, sit in the living room with my Bible. And that year, I spent the entire year on Genesis 1, 2, 3. The entire year. I have my notes. There was something burning inside of me. Burning. All this time, I did not think I would me to be a minister of the... to be on pulpit, no. Because when we'd look around, we'd see the ministers. A guy would come home. They've invited the person home. Says, Mukama. Mukama. And says, Nyabo mani tulina chachi afe. Build for us the roof. Build for us the what? And they say, no. Men of God who walk with God don't beg. And even back then, I was like, no, that's the one thing. No. Mm-mm. I didn't know I was tapping into a revelation before time. So I would spend hours reading, listening to sermons constantly, not knowing that the Lord was shaping me for ministry. Now I'm saying this for many of you that are doing things, not knowing it's a setup, a pure setup. And so I remember, as I would study the word, I remember when I went back, when we were back in school, as I was learning how to pray, when I was getting better, I started to get an ego. Huh? So now, young man, you know when you're next three, you start calling this one's young man. Let me teach you how to pray. Huh? Now, until one night, I was passing by that classroom where we used to pray from. There's a guy, that guy who called me today, Fred. He was in S6, I was in S2. He used to be the person who used to mentor us. Tell us, let's go into the presence. One night, I'm passing by the classroom, and I hear him praying. He said, Lord, I put Daniel into your hands. That's the day I realized that there are successes we have based on the prayers of people. Huh? He said, Lord, I put Daniel into your hands. Grow him for the work. And the ego died. I'm telling you, you think you have arrived. Huh? If you think you have arrived, the day someone who's holding your burden is removed, you will know. Someone who's carrying you as well as their own burden. And they are carrying you, and you, life is testimony. You're just, there are people in their secret place. The world doesn't know them. Imagine someone in a nation was busy praying, Lord, send this nation a prophet. 1 year, 2 years, 40 years. The prophet shows up and someone stands and says, there's no one greater, but you don't know where it came from. You understand what you're getting me? And so you're shocked in heaven when they give someone you did not know a crown. Because not everything that is public, or not everything that is private is made public. Please understand what I'm saying. That no man walks on his own. We walk on the shoulders of others. Okay? The church that we have today would not be what it is if people did not till the ground. So none exists on its own. It's for that reason you respect those who went before you. Are you with me? So when you start blasting, you see, let me tell you something. When men of God walk with God, well, as you walk with God, you increase in height spiritually. When you see a man who has walked with God for years fall publicly, when that man falls public, please understand that he fell from a height that is probably above yours. And so the warfare at that level is not yours. So you just sit there and laugh. Hey, look at this. My friend, let us wait for you. May God make you stand. That's why I'm slow. I'm slow. When someone has gone before, no matter the mistake they've made, leave it to God. Respect. You see, because you see, in the spirit realm, there's a law. If you look in the Bible, if Michael himself could not rebuke a demon, Lucifer, what about a man of God who has stood for God for years? And you just come out and you just rebuke. Let's be serious. Understand protocol. And that's how things hit people. Because you see, no matter how great a covering, there are laws. Touch not my... Praise the Lord. Huh? So we had to learn mastery. Mastery of presence. I had to learn entering the presence of God. It's at times like that I remember. You'd be on a border in the market, in someone's house, and you've just been doing normal things. Then somewhere in the middle of that, Lord, is that you? A manifest presence has come in something very normal because you've built mastery of presence. You are not in church, you are in a market. Lord, I know you're here. That's how God builds a man as he walks with God. Praise the living God. Because you see, ultimately, let me tell you the importance of your call. Let me tell you the importance of your call. Your call is not just for time. It continues to eternity. In fact, its impact This is a training ground. It is actually an abomination to say you've arrived. Because you're still continuing. Are you with me? And so if you have that eternal perspective, that what God has put on you here is for a life after. I was explaining to someone that the reason people... This is a bit too deep. Let me leave it. It's not yet the time. When Jesus died on the cross, before Christ died, there was a Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. When he died, man was incorporated into the Godhead. Now, to put it into perspective, go get clay, fashion and mold a man, and then give him the same inheritance as your physical son. I'm putting it into context. Something you've just made. Then give it exactly the same inheritance as your son you've been with. That's why it's a deep mystery. Paul refers to it as the mystery of godliness. Because I was telling someone, Christmas is less to do with the birth of Jesus and more to do with the incarnation. God becoming man. Extremely powerful. Because we were incorporated in it. Now, here's the reason why. Ultimately, when all is perfected, when you sit on a throne as king, God on earth has taken you through a purification process. People will deny you, friends will leave you, rent, all that. All those days you cry out, "Where are you?" Taken you through all that. Some people don't learn. So even on the other side, they have to learn. Not necessarily through pain. No, not pain. There's no pain. But they still have to learn until they're perfected. Please understand, you don't just sit on a throne. You get that? So you think, "Oh, I've died, I've left. My throne is waiting for me." You'll be shocked. You have to go through process. I call it a purification process because I can't find a better word. But ideally what happens is that he works in you until the image of him is perfected in you. So that when you sit on a throne, when you decree as God would. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. That is the direction we're supposed to head to. The direction we're supposed to head to. I'll never forget the day after I'd been ministering, people were calling me Rabbi, 2008, 9, 10. There's a lady who walked up to me and said, "You know, I love the way you teach, but you lack one thing. You don't manifest anything you teach." Eh? I went back home. Never wanted to step on the pulpit for a while, eh? Said, "Eh, by the way, all this time I'm saying God can heal, but I went to deaf people. Hapana. Told the lame man, get up and walk. Hacha. Eh?" As at that time now, I started to desire for a supernatural encounter. For learning how to master things and manifest them. Listen, from the time I gave my life to Christ, 2015, I made the bold step to start ministry. 2015. I was even pushed into it. 2015. It was 13th of March. That's last week. 6 years now. This month. Huh? 13th of March. It was Friday the 13th, so you can imagine how I felt. Because I still had this. So I remember there were 18 people that were present that day. The fears that I had, will people show up? Am I actually doing the right thing? What if I'm supposed to work? What if, you know, all those questions. And it will happen with your call. You have to take a risk, because I had to risk people misunderstanding. So you mean the church is not good enough for you? What are we teaching that you're going? What are we not teaching that you're going to teach? Those are the questions I got. But I had a call on my life. So, from that time, of the 18, I think there are like 2 left that are here. Of the 18, so people will leave. People will leave. Treasure. continue fighting on. Because you see what's going to happen is that until you realize that the person you need to walk with is God, men will talk and you will lose sleep. You with me? I can tell you right now, I don't have low financial self-esteem. I don't have low physical self-esteem. You all will be fine. According to me, I look like the rock. That's going to come back to bite me sometime. Instead of rabbi, you guys are going to say rock. And I don't have low spiritual self-esteem. I've taken you through all this. Because we could have gone into deep things, all this. But it was starting from the point of Enoch walked with God. How God deals with a man. And with, at that point, I would like to say, because we're here 6 years since I took the risk. Thank you, partners. Because let me tell you. This man might be a superstar in keyboard, and you can't just bring him. These machines is what? Someone needs to buy into the vision. That's why I'm convinced that God gives everyone people to help the vision. Everyone. Are you with me? Everyone. And so while I as a minister might have partners, you might have what literally I call destiny helpers. That's why you must learn to yap your dream. Yap it. Yap it until they get sick and tired of hearing you. One day, my mom, I was seated in the sitting room. I had gone to visit my parents. And there was a cousin of mine who used to come here, but unfortunately she passed away 2 weeks ago. But she used to come here. So I was sitting in the sitting room, and a few guys come in. I say, you're always wasting time preaching. Always take time preaching. And she stood up and said, but do you know the person you're talking to? This is not your guy of 1999. He said, I said, no. Just go to Facebook. And you know, guys, I've gone through things. You know, there were times I was invited to minister somewhere. There's a place I was invited. And I remember I was supposed to be the main speaker. And as I walked in at the entrance, the usher said, what's your name? And you know, for me, naturally, so I was about to mention my name, and then she said, sit over there. So I sat behind. I just complied. And that's how I am. I comply. So I sat behind. Because, you know, I wasn't in a suit. They expected a suit, you know. Those days, things were tight. There was this shoe that had a... So I remember I sat there, and the head of the church went up on the pulpit to you know, address the congregation. There were about 1,000 people. And he said, we're waiting for our main speaker to show up. Then he looks behind. Man of God, what are you doing behind there? Please, please come in front. Everybody stand up. Clap for him. Should have seen the usher. And at that time, I just had to rub it in a bit. You know where someone is far enough for you to get into the aisle and leave, but you go close enough to them and rub them. Sorry. And those days were bad news. We make you a sermon without saying. You know, you need to learn to respect people. What? But I remember she came to me after and she apologized. And I told her, I said, sit down, listen. Never, actually her statement was, I didn't know you were the main preacher. And I said, whether I was main preacher or not, never treat people like that. Because you never know who you're dealing with. You might need them. You understand, These are the things God had to teach us. And that's why I am certain there's no one here that I've personally disrespected. We went through that. We died through it. You will speak, you will yap, you say, Rabbi, this, you what? I'm not my own. You must get to that place. You must do. That's where it's very hard to transcend until you've died to the opinions of people. Very hard. Praise the living God. So I'd like to thank the partners, because it's been 6 years. And without you, and anyone, even if you're not a partner, anyone who has played a role, because we would not be here without people actually believing in a vision. And in the same way, God will bring people to believe in your vision. Because just in 2017, I was asking men of God as I sat with them, man, you guys, how do you stay in those houses of yours? The watchman. I sat with 2017. We were sitting around a table. And he said, just sit around us. And I remember my life financially, spiritually began to grow without him saying, now, this is how we do it. That's what you call impartation by association. Praise the Lord. Your journey has not ended. People will shout your name in the corridors. They say, oh my God. Oyo Yetriza. And you know those things. You know you're international when they're saying it in English, Luganda, Swahili, French. And Mademoiselle Triza. Praise the Lord. You are the lowest of your company, but you don't know that at some point you'll own one. Your journey has not ended. Never enter the presence of God hopeless. I'll end with this. Prophet Elvis once said something on a sit-down, and I'm going to break the rules and say it here. Because someone told me. He said, where the manifest presence of God is, you would rather come even if you sleep. Because you see, when angels are operating, as you daydream, they can use that to sort your problem out. So, don't miss fellowship. Even if we're boring you, doors, but doors in the presence. The manifest presence. Okay? Praise the living God. Huh? May your businesses rise. In the name of Jesus. May doors be open to you. May you begin to heal the sick. Raise the dead. Huh? In the name of Jesus. May you be the star of your company. In the name of Jesus Christ. May God open up to you mysteries. May God begin to show you your path and direct you. Jeremiah 10:23, last scripture please, the Lord has given it to me. Jeremiah 10:23 says this, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The way, your way is not in yourself. Something draws you. The people you encounter, the places you go, the decisions that you make, something draws you. Just like that day when I decided to walk past that class and heard him praying, I learned a lesson. That day when I decided to go to that fellowship, I learned I don't know how to pray. That day when I was listening to Perry Stone, something drives you. That's what this scripture is saying. It is not in your hands. You are not where you are by mistake. Your name shall be known.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.